Pastor Justin and I, man, I was trying to think last night how far we go back. I've known you many, many years, 25 plus years, and we've done ministry together for many, many years. He pastors in Riverside, California, all the way from the West Coast, and is with us today. And I'm so excited about you meeting him and hearing him and just allowing his fingerprint to be on our house. You know, I don't bring just anybody to this pulpit, but I'm thankful that Pastor Justin is here today. Would you stand on your feet one more time today and welcome our guest today? Amen. God bless.
Come on, let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise all over this room. Why don't you stand up on your feet one more time, put your hands together, and give Jesus a round of applause. Come on, this is birthday season. How many are grateful that he came? Man, it is such an honor to be here. Thank you, Pastor Darrell. And what a great city. What a great group of people. What a great worship experience. Wasn't this worship team awesome? Well, I'm going to tell you, I've been a lot of places, and it's not like this everywhere. And so I just want to tell you, it's something you need to value and appreciate, that Jesus is in the room and that you're creating an atmosphere of worship. I want to give honor to the Hooper family. Pastor Darrell and I, as he just stated, go way back. And I have watched his journey for many years, and so excited about what God is doing in Covington. Man, this building is just tremendous. So much room for expansion and growth. And this family, I want to tell you, is gifted, talented, competent, anointed. And Pastor Darrell can preach the paint off the walls and sing. And for that reason, I hate him. But I don't think that's fair. I really don't. I think you should be able to do one or the other, but guys that can sing and preach, I don't know. When God was passing out singing talent, I was eating ice cream or something somewhere. I don't know. But you are blessed. How many know that you're blessed with great leadership? What a beautiful, amazing family. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. I don't know. Do you guys have the picture I sent earlier? If you don't, no problem. There it is. This is my family, and we have four beautiful children, and the last two were almost old enough to be grandparents. And if you're asking me if I planned that, no, I did not, but my wife did. And so I went through a near-death experience about 6.5 years ago, and God completely did a miracle in my life, and I am completely healed. I am so healed that we went ahead and had two more children, and we didn't have two more children. I don't have four kids because I like children. I have four kids because I like my wife. And so my oldest boy is 17, and the other boy is 16, and the little girl is 5, and she is the light of my life. And the little guy there that's not focusing, his name is Braxton, and I want you to be in prayer for his salvation. He is hell on wheels, but I am so blessed with this incredible family. Matthew chapter 1. Verse number 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, when we read this account, it sounds so normal if you're familiar with the text. But this is very, very, very strange. In case you haven't figured it out, this has only happened one time in history. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. And then Luke chapter 1, verse number 26, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, now this is another thing that is very unusual. I believe that God speaks and God continues to speak. But this was an angel appearing to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I want to talk to you just for a few moments today about this subject, the gifts that we don't want. The gifts that we don't want. Father, thank you so much for this moment. Thank you for this incredible group of people. Thank you for the leadership in this house. I thank you, Lord, for all of those who are gathering today online, in person. I pray that our hearts would be opened up and that they would be blessed, challenged, and changed by your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Let's try that again. We're going to get off on the right foot here. I said, everybody say amen. Well, it's Christmas time, and I don't know if you guys have been shopping yet, but I normally wait until the very, very, very last minute. But Christmas is marked by gift giving. The essence of Christmas is that God gave the gift of himself. His only begotten Son, robed in flesh, came amongst us. And when we think about Christmas and we think about gift giving, one of the things that I think about are the gifts that I don't want. Am I the only one that gets the ugly pair of socks from the same person every year? Or the ugly tie that you know you're never going to wear? Or all of the useless things? In fact, I was reading the other day on WikiHow, on what to do with the gifts that you don't want. And it's hilarious. I want to read a couple of them to you. If you get a gift that you don't want, there's like seven steps of what you can do. Number one, if somebody tells you this, like, right up front, you just know they're lying. Like, if they really like the gift that you've given them, they'll be like, wow, thank you so much. But when they tell you what they're going to do with the gift, like you give them a book on recipes for the microwave, and they're like, oh, wow, I've been wanting something like this. I've been wanting to learn how to cook with the microwave. Like, you know up front they're not telling you the truth. They're trying to come up with something to make you feel better. But this book, and I can't bring it up, but these seven steps were focus on the intention of the gift giver. Oh, wow, thank you so much. How thoughtful you are. But when we're faced with these gifts that we don't want, there is a sense of not knowing what to do with it. But in life, often we are marked with gifts that we don't want. Like what? How about a global pandemic? Do you see that as a gift, or do you see it as a tragedy? Disrupted plans, canceled plans. How many have had plans canceled this year? Like, I mean, planning this year has been almost useless. Everything that I had planned out for my life in 2020 has been disrupted. How many planners do we have in the room? We've got a few. How many of you would say you're more like the last minute kind of person? Any of those people that just like to go with the flow? I would not say that I'm a great planner, but I would say that if my plans are going to be changed, I just want to have some input on the change. Even those of us that are most spontaneous in nature, nobody wants to have a plan cancel or something to be forced on them. But I believe that God is into surprising people. And you can see it in this passage of the Christmas story. And I preach this every year, and I love preaching about Christmas. But if you think about it, really it is a case study in bad planning. For instance, all of the miscommunication between Mary and Joseph. Like, why couldn't the angel have just showed up and talked to both of them at the same time? I mean, how come they couldn't have made reservations to have a place and spot in the inn where she could give birth to baby Jesus? But I believe that God likes to surprise people. And if we are open to disruptions, we can prepare and create margin in our life for God's plan and God's purpose to prevail. All of us have things that come into our life that were unexpected, things we did not ask for, unplanned layoffs. Maybe some have had unplanned pregnancies, or you've received a negative report from the doctor, or some that are going through a relational transition. Maybe it's divorce. Maybe this year you've lost a loved one. And then, of course, we have the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, where he said to trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Unlike Mary, most of us are not going to have an angel physically appear to us and tell us the disruption that's coming into our life. It's always unexpected. Plans getting canceled. It would be nice to be able to give consent to some of the curveballs. It would be nice to be able to know that there's a global pandemic coming. It would be nice to be able to know that a transition in your employment is going to happen. It would be nice to know that you're going to lose something or lose someone so that we could prepare for it. But the reality is life is full of unexpected surprises. Nobody likes to hear. Nobody wants to feel a change of plans. Nobody. I hate that at the airport when you get a text message that said there's been a change of plans or a change of gate or a change in departure time. But yet, if we would open ourselves up and be open to change in our life, I believe that we would more easily be able to discover the purpose that God has outlined for us. And so this Christmas season, I want to encourage you today. I want to challenge you today to tell you that whatever happens as this year closes out, whoever shows up, whoever is sitting around the table in the next few days, whatever is going to happen, if we would be prepared and we would be open, I really believe that we could see what God is doing. And so I believe God's trying to open us up to this gift of disruption. And I want you to think about four things as it relates to the gift that we don't want. And if we can understand this, I really think that it's going to help us. Number one, the gifts that we don't want, they are often inconvenient. They are often inconvenient. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." And her response was, she was confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel meant by this. So we have to remember, first of all, that Mary was engaged to be married. And when you think about, when you think a little bit about the backstory, the backdrop here of what must have been going on in Mary's mind and heart and what was going on in her life, we don't know for sure how old she was, but most people believe that she was probably around 14, 15 to 16 years old. And the reason we know this is because in this culture, once a girl would hit about that age, they were promised or betrothed to be married. This was not a choice they even made. It was a culture of arranged marriages. So she has been promised to be married, and the angel comes to her, interrupts her, disrupts her, and says, "You are going to have a baby, and the father of the baby is God. Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel said, "Don't, for you have found favor with God." How many want favor with God? An angel of the Lord appeared to this girl who had her life planned out and says, "I've got something different for you. I've got a curveball that I want to give you, and I know you're confused, I know you're disturbed, but what I'm wanting to do in your life is I'm wanting to favor you." In the King James, it says, "Fear not." In the New Living Translation, it says, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." Blessing is a spiritual thing. And what blessing and favor is when we are in the center of God's perfect and pleasing will. But this is what you have to know. Being in the will of God is not an insurance plan. It's a dangerous plan. At the end of the day, the will of God is for the glory of God. And I have discovered that in the success of my life, in the failures of my life, in the good times, in the bad times, in life and in death, there is always a way to glorify God. And when we do that, that is what it means to be in the will of God. See, the favor of God can complicate your life. The blessing of God will always complicate your life. Sin will complicate your life in a negative way, but the blessing of God will complicate your life in positive ways. And if you're married, you're like, "Really? God is giving me favor? Does that mean that I've got a spot on a wedding reality show and my wedding's going to be paid for? I mean, does that mean I've made it on Say Yes to the Dress or the real weddings of real people in Jerusalem?" You know, that could be exciting, but the blessing and the favor that he's talking about is the fact that you are engaged to be married, but now you are with child. Why are we often afraid of God's plan? Well, number one, his interruptions are often inconvenient, and number two, God's purpose is always different than our plans. God's purpose is always different than your plans. You will conceive and give birth to a son, Luke chapter 1, verse 31, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will rule over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.
And I think that Mary was faced with this duality of emotion. One, it was like, wow, I'm going to give birth to the Son of God. And then the second emotion that she was feeling was fear. She felt honored, and then she felt fearful. What are people going to think about me? What is Joseph going to think about this? I have been chosen to be the mother of the Son of God, but what in the world are people going to say about me? This was not something that was acceptable in this culture. To be pregnant out of wedlock was a sin that was punishable by death. And so she was feeling honored, and then she was feeling fearful at the same time. Can you imagine how she was processing? How in the world am I going to sit down and tell Joseph, Joseph, I'm pregnant. By who? The Holy Ghost. How bizarre can you get? God's purpose is always way different than our plan. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Do not let your plans make you miss God's purpose in your life. Mary, I know that you're planning a wedding, but I'm planning on how to save the world. I know you didn't even get to finish your wedding registry yet. I know that you're having to shift from a wedding registry to a baby registry, but don't miss God's plan and purpose in your life. How many knows God never consults our calendar? His timing is done His way, not ours. I love what Mary said. She said, I am the Lord's servant, and let it happen to me according to your will. Third thing that you need to know is that when we get these unexpected gifts, the gifts that we don't want, there will always be good in the bad, but it has to be chosen. There will always be good in the bad, but it has to be chosen. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God, and you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. What if this Christmas, we look for the silver lining in our dark cloud? What if we strained to see the good in the bad? I'm not minimizing the difficulty of this year. I'm not minimizing what some of you have had to walk through, what some of you have had to go through this year. I'm not saying that you're not right to question and to ask why, but we got to remember that there are two realities to life. And number one, life is hard, but God is good. Life is hard, but God is good. The question is, which reality are you going to choose to live out of? We go through seasons and incidents that causes distortion and lack of clarity. And we have to remember that even when we don't see it, He's working. Even when we don't feel it, He's still working. It's favor in our life that's not yet visible because it's hidden by a process that can be painful. And sometimes we assume that God is not at work when we're in the middle of a bitter tasting experience. But just like spices and ingredients, when you take them to the side and you taste them all by themselves, they don't taste very good. Understand that God is putting together something in your life that is going to end up good. And if you take the isolated incidents of what you're going through, you say it's bitter. But when you mix it all together, we can declare it and say it is good. God's doing something. God's working. Favor surrounds us. It's in front of us, David said. It's behind us. It's beside us. And the psalmist David said, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous and you surround them with favor as a shield. And I don't care what perspective of life that you have, you're not stuck with it. We all have God-given potential to change our perspective, to change where we put our focus, to embrace a new and better outlook of our circumstances. I think the most fun story in the Bible is Genesis 50, the story of Joseph and his brothers. They're now standing in front of him after having sold him into slavery, after having thrown him, kicked him to the curb, thrown him under the bridge, and they are now standing before him and they don't even recognize him. And Joseph reveals himself to his brothers and says, what you intended to harm me, God intended it for good. What the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. And every wrong turn in your life, it looks like it's going to a dead end place. But when you can step back and gain a different perspective, you understand that God was there every step of the way. Every painful part of your existence, everything that you have gone through, God has been faithful. God has been good. Come on, in 2020, come on, church at Covington, in 2020, regardless of what you've gone through, regardless of what you've lost, you are still here, and God is writing a story, and he's going to bring it and turn it around for your good. Come on, if you're grateful for that, put your hands together and give God praise. What looked like a wrong turn, I'm now having a growing awareness of the purpose of God. Don't misinterpret what you're going through, because the narrative that you create will become the identity that you embrace. God says, I want to use everything that you've gone through for my purpose and for the saving of many lives. Horrific trauma or loss is not meant to become the identity or the narrative of your life. That thing is not your destiny. You will not be defined by the pain that you have gone through in your life. You will be defined by how you interpret the pain that comes into your life. If you can say, you know what, I'm an overcomer. God is good. I'm not going to be shaken from my confidence in God. Everything that I've gone through has been for a purpose. I don't have control over my circumstances, but I have control over my response. I have control over the choices that I can make in the aftermath. The meaning that we take from our pain will become the thing that defines us. My purpose is not the trauma. My meaning and my identity is being forged from my recognition that everything that I've gone through has been for the glory of God, and God is writing a story out of my life. We got to forge meaning and mold it into something that's a positive contribution for our lives. Our darkest moments can become our most valuable because we recognize that it is the experience that contributed to who I have become, and that thing that I've gone through is now a blessing to other people. Come on, how many have ever gone through something and when you look back say, man, I would have never chosen that pain. I don't want to feel that pain again. I don't want that kind of trauma in my life again. But when I look back, I understand that was a turning point to my life. God was doing something in me. God was building character in me. God was forging his purpose in my life. And now the thing that I've gone through has now become my story and my testimony. And God is using it to his glory. See, purpose, listen, purpose is forged and not found. A lot of people are wanting to find purpose for their life. The reality is the purpose that God has assigned for your life is something that is forged out of the things that we go through, the pain that we feel, the betrayal that we go through. When we begin to process these and focus on the goodness of God, purpose and ministry is forged out of the pain of our life. See, God determines purpose, but we determine meaning. And the meaning of our trauma becomes our identity, which leads us to our destiny. Colossians 3, he said, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, which Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Paul is saying those of us who are Jesus followers, we have to resist the urge to set our heart, which is the seat of our emotions, on circumstances and on the gifts that we don't want. And we have to focus and choose to put our mind and our emotions on things that are above. Fourth thing about the gifts that we don't want is there's always an opportunity for greater dependence on God inside of the gifts. There's always an opportunity for greater dependence on God inside of the gifts. I love what Mary said in Luke 1:38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant, and may everything that you have said about me come true. She moved from confusion and fear to trust. She said, I didn't want this gift at first. I didn't understand the value of this. But now I'm moving beyond my understanding. I'm moving beyond my confusion. I'm moving beyond my apprehension. And I'm moving to a place of total trust. I am the Lord's servant. That's my identity. That's who I am. And may everything that you've said about me, I want it all. Your purpose, your will, your plan, let it happen in me. I have no fear whatsoever because I am the Lord's servant. Team, if you would come. The question is, can you surrender yourself to the plan, the purpose, the will of God, the gift, the unexpected, the unwanted gift of disruption? Can you respond to that like this teenage virgin girl did 2,000 years ago? The angel puts this opportunity in front of her. And I believe that God is going to put some opportunities in front of you. An invitation into deeper obedience. An invitation into deeper purpose. He's going to put some opportunities in front of you. And the question is, how are we going to respond? She said, I am the Lord's servant. I belong to the King of Kings. And I'm called to serve his purpose and not mine. And because I belong to him, I can trust him with the outcome of my life. And my response is yes. Yes. When these unexpected gifts come into our life, our first response is often to recoil or draw back. And you can either resist or you can trust.
See, we get plans confused with promises.
Just because the plan has changed doesn't mean the promise has changed. Just because the plan has changed doesn't mean that God has changed. Just because the plan has changed doesn't mean that your destiny has changed. Just because he broke your heart doesn't mean that you're never going to be loved again. Just because you lost your job and you're going through a financial hardship doesn't mean that God's going to stop providing. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. And Christmas is a cosmic announcement that there's been a change in plans, a disruption, but the promise still stands. So my initial plans changed, but this Christmas I'm gonna plan for joy. I know it's been chaotic, but I'm gonna pivot in this moment and say, Lord, whatever it is that you're wanting to do in my life and whatever it is that you're wanting to do in my family, let it be done. I want all of it. I trust you. I am the Lord's servant. Don't you know the miracle always lives in the disruption? The miracle is in the interruption. I believe that God is wanting to do some things in this church and in your life that are going to defy human reason. That's what a miracle is. How can this be? Because I am a virgin and the word of the Lord was simple. No word from God will ever fail. And some of us want God to do something impossible in our lives, but it is impossible for you to reconcile what you've been through this year with where God is supposed to be taking you. There's been a change of plans. There's been some things canceled, but God still has a purpose. I don't care how much pain you've gone through, God still has a purpose. I don't care how many issues that you have, God still has a purpose. I don't care how shocked and how surprised you are, God still has a purpose in this. Do not allow your pain to cancel out your purpose. 2020 was hard, but I'm stronger now. 2020 was difficult, but I'm wiser now. It was a gift that I didn't ask for, but now I understand that it was God's way of disrupting me, and it was an invitation into the miraculous, that it was an invitation into the impossible. And I didn't recognize it at first, but I see it now. I see it now. I know who I am. My identity is secure. I'm not defined by what's happened to me. I'm not defined by the pain in my life. I am a servant of the Most High God. Therefore, let it be done to me according to your word. May everything that you've said about me come true. Come on, do you receive that today? Let's give Jesus a hand clap. Thank you so much for leaning in and listening. You've been a wonderful, wonderful group of people. But if you would, just for a moment, if you would just bow your head and close your eyes, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for the one who's had your heart's been broken because plans have been changed, the one who has been confused, the one who has been hurt. And I want to pray for you that you would move from confusion to trust. just knowing that God is for you. He has your back. He knows exactly where you're at. He's not forgotten you. And he's working it for good. He's working it for good. Even in the confusion, he's working it for good. Even in the negative diagnosis, he's working it for good. Even in the family relational strife, he's working it for your good. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you are a good God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that our eyes would be opened up and that we would clearly see your fingerprints all over this year, all over our past. God of our past, we look back and we see your faithfulness. We see you working even in our present, even in our pain, even in our confusion. And we completely trust you that you are the God of our future, that you are creating a path before us, that you are making a way where we don't see a possible way because you're a way maker. We thank you, and we put our trust and our confidence in you. Thank you for coming to this planet 2,000 years ago to make a way for us and to bring us the most unbelievable gift. And if you're in this room right now, maybe you're watching online and you're broken. You're broken in sin. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's been a long time and you need to recommit your life to him. Maybe your plans have fallen apart and you, in this moment right now, say, I need a Savior. I'm going to tell you that he came for the one who is broken. He came for the one who is unclean. He came for the one, maybe you feel unworthy. He came for the one that felt unworthy. And he wants to save you. He wants to save you. Right here, right now, this moment, I want us just to pray this together. Say, dear Jesus, I need you. I give you my life. Thank you for coming to this planet. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for resurrecting on the third day. I put all of my trust and I put all of my confidence in you. From this day forward, be my leader and be my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we celebrate new life in this room and thank God for saving us and for saving every person that connected to that prayer? Come on, let's celebrate. All of heaven rejoices when one person changes their mind and comes to repentance. And let's praise God for that right now. We appreciate that word today.
Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in yours. This is my confidence.